something I practice as part of that very individualistic thing I was telling you about, outdoor reading and outdoor talking the Krishna. There's a real nice prayer you can use, which was used by Lord Chaitanya for exactly that, when he was outdoors walking and walking. I'll read the context of it. When he started out for South India, almost like a mad lion, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on his tour, filled with ecstatic love and performing Sankirtan, chanting Krishna's names as follows. Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, 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 Rakshamam, Krishna, 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 Pahimam, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam. That is, the Lord, that is, O Lord Krishna, please protect me and maintain me. And he also chanted Rama Raghava, etc. That is, O Lord Rama, descendant of King Raghu, please protect me. O Krishna, O Keshava, killer of the Keshi demon, please maintain me. Chanting this verse, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as Gaurahari, went on his way. So this is a very simple prayer. There are some prayers and shastras which are 100% pure devotion, and yet which can serve a very new devotee and a very advanced devotee. They just talk about complete surrender to Krishna without getting into the details. So this is a prayer like that. An ordinary devotee can enter the spirit of it. He's just crying out, Krishna, protect me. Krishna, maintain me. That's certainly, that's like the essence of prayer coming from anybody, praying to God. But in this case, we know God's names. We say them again and again. And a very advanced devotee, namely Lord Chaitanya, he liked this. So we have a personal endorsement by Lord Chaitanya of this. Something about it goes well with walking, hiking, singing, rhythm, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So that's another one for you. Now I have another tape excerpt. This time I didn't erase it. And this is something, some basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness being expressed. But when we are starting to be interested in this, in expressing our personal prayers to Krishna, we get impetus from it in all different things when we read Prabhupada's books and hear the philosophy. And also the different nine processes, they intermix. One that's particularly mentioned here is a process of smaranam. So that means to remember Krishna. But you don't remember unfavorably, or you don't remember in just a neutral way. So prayer gets involved, because when you think of Krishna, and then there's some attitude expressed towards thinking of Krishna, usually it's some kind of praise, or it becomes prayer. This helps us to understand, this excerpt, how easy it is. A lot of devotees are saying the prayer seems difficult, I can't think of Krishna, I don't know what to say, he's so far away. But here's showing the accessibility of Krishna for thinking, and therefore for praying. And this is Prabhupada's talking about the famous verses in 7th chapter and then 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how to see Krishna in the physical manifestation. And I also read in the 10th chapter that verse, O Krishna, O Supreme Mystic, something, please show us how to think of you constantly. How may we remember you? So here's how we can remember Krishna.
Parvasmi Sashishudraya. As soon as early in the morning you find the sun shine, you remember, here is Krishna. Here is Krishna. Or at night, when there is no sun, there is moonlight, Here is Krishna. Then, Pranava Sarvavirshu, if you are a student, see the student of Vedic mantras, Om Tad Vishnam Paramam Padam Sadhavasadvishu, if you chant the Vedic mantras, Om Bhubhuva Sata Savidhu Varanam, the Omkar, that is Krishna. Many people are very much fond of chanting Omkar, that is also nice, that is Krishna, but if we simply remember that this Omkar is Krishna, then you become perfect. Because the process is how to become Krishna conscious. So you can become Krishna conscious while drinking any liquid or water, while seeing the sunshine, while seeing the moonshine, while if you are a scholar, brahmana, advanced, while chanting the pranava.
And even in that purport where Prabhupada talks about drinking water and remembering Krishna, he says the impersonalist recognizes, yes, this is the absolute, water is also the absolute. But the devotee adds to it gratitude, thank you, Krishna. So these are good beginnings for not only smaranam, but beginnings for prayer. You see the sun, and then you think of Krishna in one way or another, and then you can address him personally. You may have forgotten. All right. So I wanted to go over the exam. The way I'll do it is I'll call on devotees and they can give answers. So I wanted everyone's exam handed in, because if you have your exam in front of you, then how can I do it? Or if you haven't done your exam, then you really shouldn't be here. Although it's such an easy exam. All right, we'll go through them, and then we have more material to talk about. One, what does samadaya manoriddhi mean? Anyone want to answer that? Raise your hand. Janmasthami?
The mind fixed in the heart.
Mind fixed in the heart. Yeah. Right? Give the translation for the following statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Namakara bahir haya, nama nahi haya. Anyone else? Yes. Two, what is the broad definition of vandanam which I used in this course? Yes.
Break through the material covering and relate to Krishna.
And somebody coughed. And what?
And relate to Krishna.
And relate to Krishna. Yep, that's what I said. Whether that be in any activity, not only in reciting Shastric prayers. All right. If someone criticized and said that my use or definition of bandhanam was too broad and was actually, in fact, a discussion of the word bhakti, how would you reply in defense of my use of the word bandhanam? Arjuna.
Well, we talked about Srila Prabhupada sometimes saying that we should pray in our own way.
Pray in our own way.
Develop love for Krishna, we want to develop love for Krishna and we simply put our faith or repeat Shastric prayers. It's a form of impersonalism.
Mm. Personalizing. Right, I didn't say if you just repeat Shastric prayers, it's impersonalism.
It is a form of.
No, in fact, I said if you did it in a real personal way, enter the spirit, that could be the only prayer that you might want to use. What you've said is right. I had in mind a rather technical discussion which I did bring out in the class. It actually came from yes?
The Tantra is one of the nine purposes of Bhakti Yoga. So, in your discussion, after you're discussing any of those nine processes, the essential element is bhakti. So you will be discussing
yes.
Bhakti. It's fun if I talk about one of them in particular.
Right, because it is said that any one of the nine can be, if performed, gives you perfection in bhakti. So if you enter by that door of vandanam or another one, then eventually you'll meet all the others and it will be bhakti.
Yeah.
So that was the basic reply I was looking for. Came out of the Srimad Bhagavatam class discussion. Define Shastric prayers and personal prayers. Shastric, isn't it? And where does he get those choicest words?
From Star Trek.
Right. And then personal prayers?
Personal prayers would be, you want to use your own words instead of using the same words.
Right. All right. Four, give Shastric examples of prayers in the following categories. So we'll start one at a time. And as I said, you could quote a verse or a lila, but I said you don't have to give a complete Sanskrit quote. You can paraphrase and give an example, and I give an example for you. Okay, Shastric example of prayer of praise. Gurupsa. Jai, very good. Oh, limitless form, obeisances to you from the front, from behind. It was on and on. Ecstatic praise. Shastric example of a prayer of thanks. Yeah. Who has kindly come before me at this time. Right. Shastric example of a prayer of asking a benediction. Sankarshan? Yeah. Last word in prayer, Prabhupada says sometimes. That's the perfect prayer, perfect request. A prayer asking forgiveness. Yes, talk. Very good. And I don't have it here, but we were talking about praying for others, and there was a praying for others, for forgiveness for others, which was brought up of the prayer to the Sudarshan Chakra by Ambarish for the release of Dhruva. Nice example. Okay, that's that. Number five. What did I mean when I said that personal prayer is necessary because we have a tendency to hide behind Shastric prayers? That's the answer to that, right?
You explain how the purpose of prayer is to become personal and association with Krishna. So if you repeat the Shastric prayers but you don't enter into the spirit of the prayer, then you can remain outside the prayer in a sense. And so the personal prayers help to enter more into the personal relationship.
Yeah. I was saying, like what Rupa Goswami said in Perfection, expressing his humility may not bring out your feelings of unworthiness and state your case. You may do that. And I don't say that you would, you have to do it, but you may do that. Just recite and not really face the Lord or the spiritual master with your own case and your own feelings. Inevitably, we have to make some prayers of our own. We can't just connect one verse to another without ever talking as a soul of our own. If someone says, however, that you are not able to make personal prayers until you are a highly advanced devotee, how would you reply in defense of personal prayer? Mahendrani, you answer.
People like Srila Prabhupada and Lord Vimaka Kasa to pray for protection, then we who are so much less strength than they do should definitely pray also. We need to pray also.
Oh yeah, I think maybe you have in mind there's a prayer by Lord Brahma where he says, or Prabhupada says of him, that he prays constantly so he won't fall down. So that implies that we ought to do that too. What are some other references I brought up to why you don't have to be highly advanced to pray?
You mentioned
refers to the German next morning, which was the Lord's prayers in the ninth chapter, seventh canto, and Scribe Prabhupada's lecture in 1968.
And in that, just to say that, he said, doesn't matter if I'm a child, I can pray feelingly, oh my God. And then another one? That was Prahlad. Then you say ninth chapter? What was it?
But that was the actual prayer of Prahlad.
Yeah.
In the seventh chapter.
7, 9, 12. Okay. And then I had Prabhupada's morning walk where he says, you may be insignificant, but the father likes to hear the child talking, even though he can't talk. And there were others. All right. Next. If you spoke to someone about the importance of prayer and he replied, I don't need to pray, I just chant Hare Krishna, what would be your further response to that?
Well, it is okay to chant Hare Krishna, but also, why not pray also, because it is natural, something natural to pray.
That's a good reply, but I would want to reply not suggesting that he has to do anything but chant Hare Krishna. You don't have to suggest that there should be some additional praying. That's all right. But what's another answer? Because I don't need to pray, I just chant Hare Krishna. Can't see. Yes?
That chanting Hare Krishna is actually a prayer. We're asking the Lord to engage with the servant. And so if we just mechanically chant the name, then we're not entering the name.
So you say, well, but do you pray when you chant Hare Krishna? Do you actually chant Hare Krishna? Or are you just, as Prabhupada said, mechanical, not Hare Krishna? They're not chanting Hare Krishna. Namakara Bahir Haya. Yes. I don't need to pray, I just chant Hare Krishna. We say, yes, you need to pray as you chant Hare Krishna. All right, but then a further remark is, yes, I know Srila Prabhupada said that we should chant Hare Krishna with love, but how can you apply this if you have not attained the state of love for Krishna? I give a personal answer on that. Anybody know? Yeah.
I was thinking the reference that you gave Prabhupada, saying that Hare Krishna, he made like a mimic, but he said with pretty good love. Here is Krishna, here is Radharani.
I gave a suggestion that if you don't have attained prema, love for Krishna and his form and his pastimes, with love, you can put your labor of love into executing this japa yajna. And as in other things, we can see someone's love is manifest in a certain work, the building of a violin or something, that the work itself, he put his love into it. So put your available love into this yajna, the craft. Make your love expressed in the craft of trying to chant Hare Krishna properly and to be attentive. Whether you're successful or not, the love that you put into it will be a love. And certainly, this is not a proper answer to say that Prabhupada's suggestion to chant with love has nothing to do with me yet, because I don't love Krishna. Someone else had something they wanted to say on that? Yes. Very good. Yeah. Even if I haven't attained love, how am I going to attain love unless I do this Vaidhi Bhakti? That's a very good answer. Okay. Next, in Lecture 3 on praying the Hare Krishna mantra, I described ways in which personal prayer could help us in chanting japa. One method I called interjected prayers, another was little meditations. Explain what I meant by each and give an example of each. So first the interjected. What did that mean? Yes. Yeah, specifically about wanting to be able to chant. Yeah.
But you call that an interjected phrase.
Interjected phrase. Yeah.
I know you mentioned little meditations and interjected phrase, but did you also mention interjected prayer?
I thought I did. I intended to anyway. Interjected and a little meditation. Phrase. It's a phrase and it's a prayer, both. So, okay.
He was talking about who? Chanting
Chant. Yeah, that's what I meant, interjected.
Did you call it a prayer or a chant? I call it a prayer.
Either way. No, no contradiction. Yeah, I see what you mean. Well, some of them are like, maybe if they're just to the mind, but we speak of prayers to our own mind. Maybe it's not the same as praying to Krishna. Or little self-help expressions or interjections. And maybe they'll get more prayer-like when they're actually, Krishna, help me, Krishna, please let me chant. Or we say, chant, just talking to our own mind. They're all different kinds of interjections. I just lump them in, call them prayers. Short attempts to help ourselves by little, we call quote mantras or little spontaneous expressions. So there are some of them we use, although there's no number to the end to the ones that you might say. He mentioned one this morning, Hari Bol. Remember Prabhupada told us in the 26th Second Avenue, he said this is a shortcut to Hare Krishna, he used that word. And so the whole Hare Krishna mantra is actually contained in Hari Bol, chant Hari. So it also means chant. It's a kind of not only it is a chant, but it's asking you to chant. Okay, then little meditations. Yes. What would be one? Yeah. I use it for it's a line of thought or an attitude. So that would be one. That chanting is a form of service. I am a servant. Now let me get into this. I'm not paying attention. Usually these are used by people who are not paying attention. They say, wait a minute, I've stopped this mechanical chanting. And then this would be something you can think of. This is a service to Krishna. I'm his servant. I'm serving the name. So then you start, just as if you were wiping the table and you wanted to think like this. I'm serving my spiritual master by cleaning this table. So the chanting is a service. And that would be an example of something you could think on while you continue to chant. And what's another one? Madhu, you had one you were mentioning. Another meditation.
Protection from Maya or something like that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Chanting, so you're chanting for that meditation.
You were talking about worship too.
And also, you go into praise Krishna.
Praise.
I want to offer Krishna some praise, but I'm not very good at it. When I try chanting his glories, I find I'm lacking in words. I can say it, but it can seem so real. But his name itself, that's a way of praising him. Like you support a football team, you chant the name of the football team because you're glorifying that you're seeing.
Yeah.
But I want to praise Krishna, so I find it nice to think like that.
So you think like that, you call it meditation, you're thinking like that, and it's an aid to your chanting, it helps fix your chanting. Yes?
I say, yes, here, or ignore the mind, or Krishna's mind,
that's a good. Okay, let's go on. Briefly describe the method I taught for prayerful reading. How is it different from normal study or reading? That'll be it.
You mentioned to set a goal, spend a certain amount of time on the verse, maybe 15 minutes, small amounts of time, and perhaps choose in the early morning, which is best for meditation.
That's good. Small amount of material, read slowly, and then other things like trying to stop to hear and understand that Krishna is actually speaking for me now, and I can hear him, and praying to Krishna to please reveal to you the meaning of the verse, and also to reveal to you how you may surrender to him, and then reading more. So it would be different than normal study, which we said is usually for the purpose of taking in the information and tends to be done at a quick pace. Okay. Emphasis on information. And this is emphasis on hearing. Next, explain two difficulties which I mentioned in the lecture, difficulties in prayer. How might these two difficulties be overcome? One difficulty? Jagerson?
Dryness.
I also said that there's nothing, in a sense, there's nothing you can do immediately for some of these dryness, in other words, distraction. You have to endure them, have to be aware of them, but there are things you can do. Like with dryness, we have to tolerate it, know that it may be due to our offenses, not give up, not expect sense gratification at every step, even spiritually, and persist anyway. So I mentioned another one, distraction. And there are others that we mentioned also, like doubts in the process of prayer and other things. Okay, I'll go on. The last one. Oh, well, that's a very personal one. Please write what you think is your own greatest difficulty for practicing prayer. How can you overcome it? What has been the most important thing you've learned in this course? That's a subjective answer. We don't have to take up in class. But I just wanted to give it credit like the other ones, because to see if you expressed it nicely, that should be as important as your knowing any of the other items. So I'm going to try to mark them as soon as possible, but some of them I may be able to give to you by the end of the day. Otherwise, I'll give them all to Ramaprabha Swami to mail to you. So then you'll get them if you stay here. So this topic remaining, questions, there are questions that I thought about when I was preparing this course. It's just another way actually of covering material and covering items that hadn't been covered. So that's what I'm trying to bring out. And then after a few of these, I have some of your questions. I hope this will round out things so that different questions you have and doubts can be removed. What about people who can't sit down quietly and recite shastras or meditate on prayer? They may want to practice personal prayer. Is there a way they can do it? So if a person says, I don't have any time, I can't set a certain time, then what would be left to them would be to try to remember Krishna as much as they can, all the time. Perhaps Arjuna, in a certain sense, was in that category, that he was so active. Krishna told him to remember me and fight. So even without a... So prayer is not a hard and fast thing, that you can you're only praying... Or you think of a man on his knees with his hands and folded, or some Eastern equivalent, that's a man praying. But that's a man can pray, a woman can pray in any kind of situation. That would be the first premise for the active or a quote passionate person. And so he can at any time start to pray, and even if he stops soon after he started, he should be encouraged. But an example might be that a person in the middle of the day finally thinks, Krishna, here I am, and I finally thought of you again. This work that I'm doing is for you. It's not a mindless labor, but I'm limited in what I can do. And then maybe, boom, then everything starts happening again. He's not doing anything for thinking of Krishna or chanting Hare Krishna. But he can pray whenever he can, or when he sees the sun, or when he drinks water. When we say think of Krishna constantly, that's the most impossible thing. But on the other hand, it means that there's a constant opportunity to think of Krishna at any time. And that's not impossible. And we can think ahead and try for it and say, you know, there's so many little opportunities during the day And I usually, they wind up being just vacuums and little empty pockets of time. If I can only remember today to turn to Krishna at those times and chant or speak to Krishna, so that might be especially good for the active person. But the passionate person should also try to sometimes practice the more thorough kinds of prayer using Shastra, and you should sit down and chant the 16 rounds.
No.
Yeah. That's true. And just as you go to take rest, even, we're not supposed to do anything but do it as service for Krishna, to think of, dedicate things to Krishna, and then it becomes a prayer-like life. Everything can be unconscious or conscious, that you just crash on the bed, or you think that Krishna and I have to rest, let my rest be protected, and so on. Yes?
I was thinking of another way that sometimes we chant bhajans at nighttime, because everyone kind of likes to do bhajans, but then you read the words. So it's like, no one's kind of like forced to somebody to kind of
There's some translation of some bhajan, I forget, but it says something, there's a line in it, and I wish to now and then think about Radha and Krishna. Yeah. That's good. That phrase always struck me. It was such a realistic thing. Let me remember them now and then. Usually it's on, language is always on a very high level, you know, and let me always think and never forget for a moment, but you just said, now and then, could I just think of Radha Krishna while I live in this material world? That would be my perfection. Constant prayer means you have a constant opportunity to remember. Yes?
And sometimes it seems like Krishna becomes like a household word. Oh, Krishna, I forgot this.
No,
oh Krishna, I've
got to
go do that. No, I have to enter more into the, actual prayer for more than not just the. It's nice to say Krishna all the time.
Yeah, it's a good start, but it shouldn't be. Like gee whiz or golly. Many of those words, they come from God, don't they? A lot of those expressions. They're just contractions or slang versions of something like God bless you, and they turn into curses and oaths, but they're all different forms of some kind of God conscious expression. What about pious people who pray to God that their daughter may pass her exams or that their father can have a successful surgical operation? Is that wrong? It may be material, but they're turning to God. Does he listen and give results? So this is addressed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says that these people are Sukritina, who 716 Bhagavad Gita, the different kinds of person who approach Krishna for material things. Prabhupada says in the purport, they are more or less devoted to the Supreme Lord. They'll become purified. They need the association of a pure devotee to understand what prayer actually is. But we shouldn't make fun of them or think that it's useless. Dhruva Maharaj prayed like that for material things, and eventually he was so determined, Narada came to him and he learned pure devotional service. So if they pray for material well-being of their friends and loved ones, we don't have to mock them, but we can try to ask them to at least include in those prayers for the ultimate well-being of that person that they're concerned with. Not just that they pass their exams, but that they go back to Godhead or something like that. So we recognize the prayer.
How is that purified? Like, for instance, devotees may also have a tendency to pray with material pain.
Prabhupada's answer, it develops affection and a tendency to turn to Krishna. And that's purifying. And then he'll eventually replace the motive. That you're coming to me, you're so sincere, you're always coming to me, but you're always coming to me for material things.
I remember there was a time when I was just really devoted and we were cautioned to avoid these material prayers because Krishna may answer them, and you may not want.
Well, yeah. If somebody's willing to become a devotee, then we can give him some very straight instructions that don't pray like this. But if the person is sort of delicate in their, they have some relationship with God or Krishna, but it's very definitely dependent on asking for material things. If you tell them don't do that, you can become like the atheist then. He'll just work for those things and leave God out. But he wants those material things.
Very nice reference in the Bible coming down regard that's encouraging, where Krishna says, explains that my devotee turns to me for material things, feel that, but in such a way that he eventually moves his taste for that, and he'll have the highest.
Yeah.
Get the highest thing, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita goes even further and says, well, you know, he's asking for poison when I'm offered nectar, and somehow I'm giving him nectar anyway.
So I am more intelligent.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Krishna says, than they are. I'll give them something. I'll give them the taste of my lotus feet.
But according to that quote we have in Vidyas, page 17-18, even if there is some material distress or need, we should still submit that to Krishna.
Yeah.
Not that we withhold that thought or that need, I guess. Maybe we should say, well, it's there, so please let me get rid of it, maybe.
This is my suffering. Please pick me up. It sounds more like drying our tears and giving us strength to go on, rather than, Krishna, this is my difficulty. But even if it is, if you're asking for the rectification of the difficulty, then that's material. So, that prayer should be elevated, and depending on how surrendered the person is, he should be told to rectify that kind of prayer, and don't do that kind of prayer. Like I said, Prabhupada said about the Pandavas, they never prayed, he said. They never prayed. Meaning they never asked, please kill this demon, please take care of this. But they always prayed. They always thought of Krishna.
It's like that thing that happens here. I hear that if you study diet, it's helpful because then, I mean, like you said, in Germany, when people were praying that my husband come back,
yeah.
When they didn't get their specific
yeah. Yeah, a very important phrase. Prabhupada taught us to us when we wanted to pray for his health. My dear Lord Krishna, if you desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. That was a real mantra for a while, 1977. And now, sort of based on that, we have this prayer. My dear Radha Damodar, if you so desire, please keep all of your temples open for your devotees. So we don't demand Krishna, but how can we not, in helplessness, pray for Krishna to help us from this terrible thing? But maybe Krishna doesn't want it to happen, so leave him that freedom, but you express your desire, what you think is pleasing. What would be the most pleasing prayer to Lord Krishna, and what is the most pleasing prayer to Prabhupada? We have to learn this from them. What do they say is the best? I've given some quotes from Prabhupada and some of the phrases or essences he says, things like please give me the strength to serve you. Please let me love you. These are our prayers. Or he says the Hare Krishna mantra is the best prayer. And it means, it's a prayer, he said, it means please engage me in your service. These would be some of the, favorite attitudes of prayer as taught by Prabhupada on behalf of Krishna. And there's a... There was that exchange where a devotee asked Prabhupada, what would please you the most? He said, if you love Krishna. This also brings out that prayer is not so much petition. As much as we discuss it, always the benedictions come up, the different attitudes towards asking Krishna for things. But in Prabhupada's definition, it's not seeking benediction. Except what's considered not in that category is the benediction, please let me love you, please let me serve you, and praising Krishna, you are so great, I am small, it's my duty to offer prayers to you and glorify you. Glorification of Krishna that's like to my mind, the classical definition of vandanam in the Vedic scriptures is offering prayers or praising Krishna, the prayers of Akrura, the prayers of the different verses. Praising Krishna. We want to enter that in our personal prayers also. Although we know that there's a place for asking for our needs. Is it all right? And now this is Ajahn Mill, the question you asked on the first day. I had that in mind too. Is it all right to pray for specific results as long as we're doing it for Krishna? Could a book distributor pray, please let me sell at least 50 books today? So I thought it's better to pray to be fully engaged and surrendered in your service and let Krishna decide on the results. He says, in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If we depend too much on Krishna to send us specific results, then our prayer may become fruitive. We may think that something went wrong if after we prayed and worked, the result didn't come. We got less than we asked for. But Krishna has his plans as to why in a certain day to give us less than we wanted. He may want to make us humble. He may want to make us more dependent on him and increase that. So Prabhupada says our only goal should be to satisfy Krishna, and when we work for him, we may meditate, I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. The book distributor or any servant of the Lord may pray fervently, please let me serve you to my best capacity. So it's not negating that desire that I want to do big, I want to do 50 books or more, but it's leaving it ultimately up to Krishna. Yeah.
What would be would there be anything wrong with each person doing a prayer for others, you know, like please let this person take up Krishna consciousness? That would keep things pretty pure about that. It's not a...
You mean the people that you're approaching?
Yeah.
Let me address the next one, which is a part of this discussion. Are there shastric prayers where devotees ask Krishna to empower them to preach on his behalf? And so the devotees are instruments of Krishna, so they sometimes pray to him for guidance, that they be better instruments. Sukadeva Goswami praises the Lord and says, be pleased to decorate my statements. And Prabhupada says, Sukadeva prays for the mercy of the Lord, not only for being helped personally in presenting the truth, but also for helping others to whom he would like to speak. Of Bhagavatam 2.4.23, purport. So the preacher is saying, I'm preaching, but please decorate my statements, and please let this person who I'm speaking to be affected. So you may do that. But again, I would say, you know, don't get down... Well, don't be disappointed if you get real specific. But there you are, it's talking to a person, you're trying to sell them a book, and you say, it's natural, Krishna, please let this person, this hard-hearted person, be moved by the super soul in his heart, let him take this book. It's not wrong to pray like that. But then if it doesn't happen, then what do you think? If you're always doing that. Yeah. Not that you know, if you keep doing that again and again, somebody doesn't take, you think, you know, I'm not gonna pray to Krishna anymore. I don't get any results.
When he first came, also wrote that prayer. I don't know how these people are going to take up Krishna consciousness, but you could do anything. You could just make them dance, make them be your instrument in spreading Krishna consciousness.
Ananta?
I was hearing one tape a while ago on Tripurari, and he was distributing books. He would say that he would have certain mantras down for certain people. We'd approach them and say certain things. And at the same time, when he was approaching them, saying this mantra, he would be praying inside because he had the mantra down so well.
Yeah.
To help this person. He'd be thinking, how if this person didn't take a book, then he would become a cockroach or something like that.
Yeah.
He'd be praying at the same time as he was distributing books.
Yeah. I think there's a difference also between the individual attempt, the constant attempt to pray that this person will take a book, and what I put as the question, that I have to do 50 books today, which implies, you know, I'll be the best and I'll get back and I'll have a lot of books done. It may be a wrong motive in your assigning that you... There may be some false ego that I want to achieve this much. And Krishna, you help me achieve what I want to achieve. But just leave it open-ended more, that constantly pray that you do as many as you can. So I don't mean to say we shouldn't pray constantly that we succeed in our preaching, and we can pray for the people who are preaching too. Because that's the field of preaching is so intense, it's natural that there will be prayer involved, asking Krishna to let us do it nicely, but results are up to him. As Prabhupada says, that if something nice happens, the devotee thinks that it was just Krishna who did it. If something doesn't happen, he thinks it's his own lacking. All right, then I'll go on. Did you tell me, Prabhu? You have a lot of experience.
In Prabhupada's Markandeya Bhagavatam, one of the verses he said he was praying to Krishna that he could convince him of your message.
You can't convince him because you're the supreme.
Also, in this regard, this is about something you said earlier, that in the past month I've been saying in Srinagarasa a lot and Krishna. Situation, and at first it seemed kind of like I was doing kind of like a little bit of fear and also kind of mechanically, but as I was saying it more and more, it actually made me like think of Paladmon a lot, because Paladmon is the author of the spirit. I was finding that I was actually, because I never used to hardly even think of Paladmon, I never even like made it in my mind, but it became like more and more like sublime as prayer, because at first it didn't seem that way. But I was finding that as I was chanting it more, actually I was finding it was like helping my job and other things. Because it's actually prayer to vanquish different kinds of impediments.
And Bhashan Maharaj was speaking last night about a leela of devotee praying to Lord Nrisimhadev for devotion to Radha and Krishna. Well, he was granting that.
It's also stated that supposed to be most of this
What's the relationship between praying to Krishna for auspicious results in his mission and actually endeavoring to do something for him by action? So the little incident that I remembered was when Prabhupada came to Boston one year, we were trying to move from a little storefront to buy a house, a bigger place. So we had some place we were looking at, or we were looking for. And so one of the devotees asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, should we pray to Krishna that we can get that house? And he said, pray and endeavor. So that means you should do whatever it is to find that house and raise the funds and enter the deal to get the place for Krishna. Not that you sit back. But he said, pray also. And that praying should not be a demand, but if you desire Krishna, because he may have a good reason for our protection or for the furtherment of the movement, that we don't get that specific house. And that's another point about not praying too demandingly and specifically for results. We think this is definitely the best thing for the movement, this is definitely the best thing, but it may not be. Krishna says, no, I don't want that person to get Krishna consciousness. That house looks good to you, but that's a terrible place for you to get. I've got a better place in mind. Just be patient. So he has his plans that we don't always know what they are. We pray, but if you desire. Okay. What if someone hasn't approached a Vaishnava spiritual master and doesn't know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? If he prays to God according to his understanding, will he be heard? For this I refer to the king of the elephants, Gajendra, again in the 8th canto, who prayed, and Prabhupada said he simply accepted that there must be someone who has created the cosmic manifestation and supplied its ingredients. When he was in extreme danger, Gajendra knew that no power could save him, none of the demigods, or certainly not his own family members. So he prayed with a theistic conviction and faith to the supreme God of all of these things. But he didn't know about him intimately. Prabhupada says, from the description of Gajendra, he apparently was aiming at the supreme authority, although he did not know who the supreme authority is. He conjectured, there is a supreme authority who is above everything. Under the circumstances, the Lord's various expansions, such as Brahma, Shiva, Chandra, and Indra, all thought, Gajendra is not asking for our help. He's asking for the Supreme above us. So then Prabhupada says, the Lord is hard to approach, but yet he's very near to us in our heart. As soon as he understands that we're seeking his favor by surrendering, he immediately takes action and appears because of the fervent prayer. So if you have a firm conviction about the personal nature of God, and you pray to him, then he will answer your prayer, send you the pure devotee who will enlighten you more about the nature of God and how to serve God, guru, from whom you can know more about the Lord. Yes?
A short point on that. Sometimes when we distribute books, the old people, they'll say that they're looking for God, they're looking for the Supreme, they want to find that person. And then other times when they come in contact with the book, they feel that God has sent them to this person to see, oh, yes, here is God directing me towards the devotees. And they feel, I mean, I've had so many instances when people have been walking the other way and they turn around and come back towards the devotee, and then that's what they've been thinking about, praying like that, even though they don't see the devotee sometimes through the books.
That's really significant.
One of the amazing realizations, I'm sure all distributors, sanctified devotees get, is that when they chant their realms with a kind of mood of, you know, appreciation for the gift of Krishna consciousness that we're getting from Krishna and Prabhupada, and let me share that instead of just, you know, sleeping through the mediocre realms. The type of people that Krishna sends to us during the course of the day, the type of people that are not the, as explaining, you know, you need the good people. Mm. If you're not chanting nicely, then you'll be all kinds of.
In this regard, I remember 1975 when I was president of San Francisco Airport, and I went up to Dave Montecone at that time. He was like the biggest distributor in Ohio. And I went up to him around noon and asked him, how many books have you distributed? And he said, I distributed 20. And I said, well, what did you do? And I said, what was the penalty? What was the, And he said that he just chanted very, very good rounds that morning, and he said the holy name was he was doing. I've always been doing that.
Okay, I'll take another question. This is from recent questions of yours. One doubt I have is that all that's necessary is the Maha Mantra. And when I enter into personal prayer, I'm in danger of injecting motivated requests which may increase my entanglement in the material world. But one answer to this is, if you feel like this, then just chant Hare Krishna and don't worry about adding anything. But for those who wish to converse with Krishna in a personal way also, don't dwell on the material requests again. There's a nice experience a devotee shared with me, a devotee who lives in Vrindavan, an ISKCON devotee, who likes to go to a holy place called Kamyavan. And that's the place where you go and whatever you pray for there, your desires may be fulfilled. So he likes to go there and do this kind of personal prayer in the company of the deities, in the spirit of the place. But he being aware of maybe entering that sacred ground and asking for material things, he says he prays before he goes in, that whatever I ask material, Krishna, please disregard that. Just don't don't listen to that. such nonsense things may come to my mind. I really don't mean it. And then that also helps him not to do that when he goes there, and as long as he can without spacing out, tries to go there and pray for the desires of a spiritual life. Yes.
The logic about having material motivation stopping you from using personal prayer, that also applies to Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra is described as like a desire to fulfilling desire. So if you have material desire, the propensity is there for them to be fulfilled also. So the thing to do is to deal with your material desires. Don't stop chanting or don't stop personal prayer.
Yeah. We have to examine ourselves and see what's going on. If we have material desires, and then go beyond them. Here's a question about personal prayer. Concerning prayers of thanks, sometimes something very small will happen and I'll spontaneously say, thank you, Krishna. For example, the mail came early in the day when I was waiting for a letter and I automatically said, thank you, without even intending to pray. Does Krishna want to hear such tiny prayers over inconsequential things, or is this a misuse of prayer? So it sounds like at least that was a genuine utterance, thank you, Krishna, for something that happened in life. That's what we're looking for, life, contact, real life, and not just the time when we say our prayers or go to the temple, and then the other life when we're not devotees. So thank you, Krishna, in real life. It's valuable. It shouldn't be just thrown out. But I would say don't stop at that. Just do more. But and keep praying. Say, Krishna, I'm thanking you for such a tiny thing. I should really thank you for giving me devotional service. So you should be surprised, maybe, but pleased that I just thanked Krishna. I'm talking to Krishna, and I keep going. And deepened it, instead of only thanking Krishna for bringing a letter. And then also, so that was a nice thing, Krishna brings the letter that you're waiting for. But what if he brings the bad letter too? Or if you stub your toe, and so on, then we should pray then too. So without negating the tiny prayer, thanking Krishna for something that he did for us favorably, we should keep going. In all of this, we should persist. There's a line of poetry by William Blake that I always thought of for years as being very significant. I never knew exactly how to apply it, but it's actually in the sayings of his. And one of his sayings is, if the fool would persist in his folly, he would become wise. So although some lines like that, they may sound vague, that always rang a bell. I knew just what it meant to me. And it means that there's some things you do, people think you're crazy and that you're a fool, and you are, whatever it may be. Say materially that you say, I'm going to be a great musician, and then you don't do anything else, you play music, and you're a fool, actually. But if you persist in that extreme foolish activity, then you can become a great person. That's what that means to me. If the fool would, I thought of it in terms of things like writing, or somebody saying, I'm going to be a poet, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to be a Hare Krishna devotee. But everybody thinks it's foolish. But in the foolishness thing, granted that it's a foolish thing, if you persist in it somehow to the end, you'll find that there's wisdom in that. So I think the prayer is like that, especially with this example. It's kind of foolish to just only be thinking of Krishna when he delivers the letter that you're waiting for. But if you persist in that, then you become wise. Rather than take this little thing, the only time you thought of Krishna, and say, oh, what nonsense, I'm thinking of Krishna for this, and then wipe that out too. So persist in your folly. A good expression for all of our attempts to pray. Next question. Oh, we're almost out. I can't cover them all. See if I can pick one better one. They're all good. One point I wanted to make, and this here's a question that says that when I pray, I pray very exalted prayers, or even when I pray personally, I try to think of what Prabhupada would say. But at the same time, I'm painfully aware of my actual lack of surrender. Knowing of the foolish desires I have in my mind, it seems like a contradiction to pray on an exalted level at the stage that I'm at. So again, go forward. But I think we have to be honest first. So there is something good here, that the person feels some kind of hypocrisy at jumping up to the best prayers that Prabhupada would make. So therefore you should first start with honesty and saying, I don't really feel like praying, or all I want is material desires. You don't have to dwell on that level, but you have to start on that level. Often we have to start from where we're at and then keep going. So that may remove this trouble that the person has of going before the deities, or taking some time to pray and saying very exalted things, because why not? Why should we pray nonsense? We want to pray like Lord Chaitanya does, but then feeling, this isn't me. It is you. But first you have to admit your unfortunate immediate condition. So I think we used up all our time. And I thank you very much for paying the course and Hope you got something out of it, and you can let me know any good results so I can share them too. Thank you. Where is the card?